Let's see. Let's 12. Start with verse 12.
Are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?
All right, hold on right there. Let's stop right there. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. All right, son of the morning star. All right, who is this addressing here?
Satan.
All right. Now, it's not saying Satan in there, is it? What's it saying? Who's it addressed to?
Lucifer.
What does Lucifer mean?
Light.
All right. Light carrier. That's what it means. Light carrier. That's who he was. Now, we have to go back in time now. This is in eternity past. Now, why did God create everything he created? It's in the book of Revelation. Remember what it says?
His own pleasure.
What? For his own pleasure. God created this. Now, our God is sovereign, isn't he?
Amen.
What does sovereign mean?
All knowing, all present, all everything.
One and only.
Well, sovereign. What is sovereign?
One
to be sovereign.
All-loving.
To be independent.
He's all-loving.
He's a king.
What does that mean?
Independent.
Independent.
Controlling.
He's in control. That's what the word sovereign means. It means control. But God has to... When you make something, do you have the right control what you make?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Pretty much.
Do you have a right to say how it's going to operate or anything? Do you have a car? Sometimes they run, don't they?
Most of the time, you get the right one.
Yeah. Well, does anyone else have a right to go get your car and take off with it?
No.
Could you loan your car to somebody if you wanted to?
Yes.
All right. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. But before he created the heavens and the earth, he created the place to put them. The space to put them in. Just think about that. Does that blow your mind? Just think about that for a while. How many of you ever looked out in space at nighttime with a telescope or something? All right. Now, every bit of that space, God created the space. I don't think it was here before. He created it all. Now, if he created it, does he have a right to do what he wants to with it? That's what you call a sovereign God. Okay? Now, God created man, and he created angels and spirits. Now, angels and spirits, everything that God has created, he gives a little bit of his sovereignty to. He loans a little bit of it to. All right? And what do I mean by that?
Free will.
A free will. All right? They have a right. Now, if God had created angels, and if they just served him, could he get any glory out of it? God created a lot of angels. Okay? A lot of them. I don't know how many he created. He created a lot of spirits. Okay? Yes.
You got differentiating between the two. What do you mean by that?
Angels and spirits?
Yeah.
An angel has the form, every time we see him in the Bible, the form of man. Just think about that for a while. Now, when did God create angels? Before he created man. Just think about this for just a little while. When God created man, in what image did he create man?
In his image.
Now, you know, the Bible just gives us little bits and pieces of things that we put them together sometimes. All right? Try to teach you in this class is to think. Okay? That I want you to do. That is another gift. the ability to think. Now, every time we see an angel in the Bible, this angel looks like a person, doesn't it? You think that God might have created these angels to some, maybe in his spiritual type, in some type of form like him? Think about that for a while. Now, angels, we find out from the Scriptures, what we find out in Scriptures, angels can serve God or they can rebel against God.
Well,
according to scriptures, now this is a test day, okay? This is a test, all right? This is not a what do you call it? It's not a, this is a real test day. I'm going to find out what you know. Some of you haven't been in the class real long, but you're going to learn from these others anyway, by osmosis. Now, God created a lot of angels and a lot of spirits. Now, spirits, as far as we can understand from the Bible, they are daimonia, spirits, and there are ministering spirits. Okay? I know a lot of people don't make a differentiation between spirits and angels. But I see in the Bible, I see some difference in there.
When spirits became demoniac or ministering, was that concurrent with the fall of Lucifer?
Yeah, that was it. I think that there are a certain amount of spirits fell along with angels. I don't know how many spirits there are, and I don't know how many angels. But if there were, in what division, how many in division, how many angels fell? What percent?
One third.
33 1/3% of them fell. Now, I don't know how many spirits fell. They possibly did. But now, angels have form. When they appear to man, they have form. What about spirits? What do spirits do?
They take on the form.
They indwell human or animal flesh. Give me some examples of that.
The demoniac of Gadara.
Okay, the demoniac at Gadara. All right, over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee when he went across. What about in the Old Testament? Where do we have an animal being indwelt?
The donkey.
The donkey. Balaam's donkey. What happened to Balaam's donkey?
He talked to his boss.
He talked to his boss, didn't he? All right. And then in a certain way, the snake in the garden, Nahash. What's Nahash mean?
Serpent.
All right, Nahash. That's Hebrew for serpent. All right, Nahash. Nahash means the deceiving serpent. There's something about it. You know, evidently, that serpent was one, what we call the lion, the king of the animals, the king of the beasts, don't we? Elephant looks like he's big, so there's great big great whales and things like that. But man is always called the lion, the king of the beast. But really, I think the king of all the beasts was the Nahash in the garden. Now, at one time he walked, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now he walks on his belly. That was part of his curse. But he loaned himself to Lucifer, didn't he? And Lucifer spoke through him, didn't he? Yes.
Before Lucifer fell, he was like Gabriel, which means he was serving the Lord.
Yes.
Before the time of that decision was made.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to understand your functionality differentiation between the angels and spirits.
Yeah.
How do they function before the angels fell? What were the differences in functions?
Well, that's where we're going. Okay. The angels. Now, we're going to go back to Isaiah 14, and we're going to look at some more of what's going on here. All right? And Ezekiel 28 also. But God created spirits. All right? Now, is God spirit?
God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
God is spirit. All right. Now, God is form, physical form, in the person of Jesus Christ. We see Him. We saw Him in the New Testament. What does Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
All right? And as man had fallen in the Old Testament, then man began to know God by the name of God, which was Jehovah, He who shall become. And there's all kinds of Jehovah titles. By the way, Jesus fulfilled those Jehovah titles. All right, now, getting back to spirits and angels. Lucifer served God for how many millennia? Anybody know? How many thousands of years did Lucifer... How many years did he...
It was out in eternity, so we don't know.
Eternity past. All right. What is time?
An accommodation for us.
Well, it's an accommodation for us. But what is time, Brother Bill?
It's a period of in eternity.
It is a measured
time and eternity.
Period of time in space and time and eternity. That's what time is. Yes.
It's a measure of movement.
It is a measure of eternity. We understand something that happened from here to over to here. See, we have eternity on both sides. And then on the chart, on the round chart, is a real good explanation of eternity, because eternity is like a circle. How many of you got married and you had a ring you put on your wife and on your husband that said that the minister would say this is a circle which represents the eternity, your eternal bonds together, so on and so forth. Now, see, here we have this circle, okay? Time is a measured, marked off piece of eternity. Now, does eternity stop just because we live in time?
No.
No. It continues to go. Now let's go on, Brother Lee, with Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and start with the right off, start right where you began to start, okay? Right with the first part of the verse.
How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations.
All right, what nations is he talking about here? That's talking. This is a kind of a dual. This is what you call a dual prophecy. It's talking about the king of Babylon, but it's also, in many ways, it's talking. The primary interpretation really is Lucifer, all right, or the one we know now as Satan, all right. The nations. What was the nations?
The different sect of angels.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Is God's government or economy? Was it his to begin with? Did Lucifer weaken it? Why? Because he took one third of the angelic and then spiritual forces. Alright? Now we know that the spirit forces, there are, according to the book of Daniel and many other places in the Bible, Ezekiel, when there are wars on earth, what's happening also? There are spiritual forces behind each nation. Demons and angels working with them. All right? We see this. Now, remember in the Old Testament times when we look at the book of Judges and at the different times when God's war... Who was the man that went out there and he thought he was all alone? And God opened his eyes and he saw all the great armies that was behind him. All right? We see this in the Old Testament so many times. How about Pharaoh's army? Did God's forces confound Pharaoh's army?
Amen.
All right. How many angels were there? When Jesus was being tried, when he was on this earth, he said one time he could call legions of angels to defend him. Tonight, In the church history class, I'm going to read part of something for you. It's Pilate's letter. I want you to see some of the drama that was taking place in that palace when Jesus was being tried. He tells about that. Well, let's go on here and look a little bit more about Lucifer. Brother Lee, 13, I believe it is.
For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north.
All right. Now, where is heaven? Tells you how you get there now.
Well, we always think of it as being north.
That's right.
But the north star, there's an empty space around it there.
Yeah. Well, it's evident. The sides of the north, yes.
I'm curious. Would you consider heaven to be the further sphere of the galaxies that we consider universe? Would you consider heaven to be outside of the sphere of galaxies?
I believe heaven is above that. And I'm going to draw you a little picture here. Okay? And in this book, there's a lot of things in this Bible in 8 ages. Okay? Here's the earth. Little insignificant piece, except for one thing. That God decided to do some gigantic things on this little piece of land. This little terra. Little piece of land that we're on. Here's the earth. Around the earth is what we call the atmosphere. And that's heaven number one. And then outside of that is where all the stars and all of our galaxy exists. Okay? And that's heaven number what? Two. And then we have up here, above the earth, heaven number three, the third heaven. Paul talks about the third heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. Whether into the body or out of the body, he said, I don't know. But to the third heaven. So here we have the heavens outlined. How many of you are learning something? I know a lot of you have been in this class, but maybe you'll learn it better. Okay, yes, brother.
So you are understanding that Paul is calling not just our galaxy, but all the galaxies that make up the universe as the second heaven.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right, the third one is the abode of God, the third abode of God. Now, how about...
Sheol?
Huh?
Sheol?
Sheol.
Hell.
Hell.
Yeah.
No, all right. No. The bottomless pit.
Black holes.
The great sophon of gloom. The thick darkness, outer darkness. Where is this?
South. The other direction.
The other direction. Here, somewhere. All right. It's down under the earth. Not in the earth, but down under the earth. The language is very specific. Where, if you were in the earth, it's in the earth. But if you were down under the earth, where would it be? Down. This way. All right? That way. Some of the things that I'm telling you maybe you've never heard before.
It's separated from God.
Yes, separation from God.
Somebody could say when is south up and when is south down, you know, as we travel this ball.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to the south...
Somebody could have a question there.
If somebody's on the south pole, if you're on the south pole, everything, every direction is north. If you're on the north pole, every direction is south. How many of you knew that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Okay, that's good.
That's kind of relative, really.
Yeah. All right. But, now number 14. Read that one again.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
All right. He wanted to be God. Will Satan ever be worshipped like God?
He wants it.
Will Satan ever be worshipped like God?
Yes.
Yes.
For a short time.
When?
During the time of the tribulation.
During the tribulation period. He is going to raise the dead. He's going to do all kinds of miracles in that tribulation period. And they are going to worship him like God for a short time.
They're going to think that he is God.
Yep. They'll think that he is God for a while. Because he's going to say, I am God. Now verse 15, Brother Lee.
Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.
All right. There are two words in the Old Testament. There's a word Sheol, and there's the word quiver.
Say it again.
The word Sheol and quiver.
Quiver.
Yeah.
Can you spell that?
All right. I'll just spell it in English. If I spell it in English, you couldn't, or Hebrew, you couldn't do it anyway. It's kind of like a soft bait. All right, there. Quiver. Now, let me tell you this little thing. You can dig a quiver, but you can't dig a shield. Your body is put in the grave, but your spirit is always put in shield. All right? You can dig a quiver, but you can't dig a shield. All right? Your body is placed in quiver, but your spirit is in shield. All right?
There's another word there that's often used in German. It's Teufel. And it's has to do kind of with some of the old gods that they had. It's named after that.
Teufel?
Teufel.
Teufel. Probably comes from Theos.
No, I think it's the other way.
Yeah.
It's very definitely. Well, that's the word we use. In
terms yeah.
Teufel.
Teufel is what we consider the devil, isn't it, Wally?
Yeah.
Oh, Teufel's the devil. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Teufel the devil.
Of course, it's the Satan, is the Satan.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Let's go on now a little bit more. Verse number 16, Brother Lee.
Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as the wilderness and destroyed its cities?
All right. The word cities there is not cities. It's beautiful places. All right? It should be translated beautiful places. What did it say there in the last little line?
Who did not open the house of his prisoners?
All right. Now, when God created the spirits and angels, all right, they all served him for a while, but some of them decided not to. All right, some decided not to. Now, when he creates man, when he created man in the garden, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but let me tell you something. Does God make every person be saved? Could he do that? Could he have done that? But if God made every person to be saved, could he really get glory and honor and praise from those people? They would be robots, wouldn't they? Now, we have theological groups that say that you're either classified in one angle or the other. You either go one place or the other. But when God created man, when he created angels, when he created spirits, he gave them a certain amount of volition. Volition. What's volition mean?
Free will.
Free will. All right. Certain amount of volition. All right. Now we have Lucifer. And we have Lucifer created back in eternity. And this is before time began. Okay? Now, did God think about man in eternity?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he knows everything.
Well, he did. How long ago did he plan for man's salvation?
From the foundations of the world.
From before the foundations of the earth, of the worlds. Now, worlds there is cosmos. Cosmos means what? What does cosmos mean?
Be the second heaven, probably.
Cosmos. What is cosmos?
Existing matter.
Cosmos. Yeah, I got to get the idea of what the real word means. Cosmos. It means order.
Order.
God did not create chaos.
That's right.
He created order. Now, the Babylonian idea of creation is that God created a mass of confusion and disorder.
Order,
and then he brought it into order.
Order out of chaos.
Order out of chaos. That's not what happened. Now, for many years, the theological idea is that God created the earth in chaos. And then he brought order out of chaos. But what does Ezekiel 28 say here?
Ezekiel or Isaiah?
Isaiah 14. What's it say? That you caused the worlds to tremble, that you made the world like a chaos or a wilderness. It became. Now Genesis 1 and 1. Barashith bara Elohim esh hashemim hashemayim v'eth haaretz. That's what it says in Hebrew. Alright? In beginnings. That's what it says. Barashith bara. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, created God the heavens, Hashemayim. All right, Ha, by the way, is a the in Hebrew. Ha. Mayim is waters. What does the word Hashemayim mean, literally?
The waters.
The uplifted waters. That's what it literally means. The heavens. Now, think about that for a while. He created the heavens. Now, how was the earth created originally? What was the earth like? Well, we're getting into a lot of stuff here.
According to your theory, the theory here is that it was created in beauty and perfection.
In and out of the water. And perfection, by the way. Now, when he created the earth, there was an ocean in the sky. Hashemayim. That's what it means. Hashemayim. There was water in the sky. All around the earth was a complete bubble of ocean out there. Now, later on, we're going to get and find out when God dumped the oceans to the earth. But some great, terrible catastrophes happened to the earth. All right, before that. And we know that one time that the earth was part water and part earth. Okay? And if you go out and you see, and you just look at it, you go back. How many of you ever seen a fossil? You know what a fossil is?
Sure.
What is a fossil?
Something old.
Me? Yes, Brother Bill.
Now,
better not say this, so I don't look stupid. Jim, now, when God created the first earth and put Satan over him, there was no stars, no light. He was the light. The stars and the heavens, he says that when he created Adam is when he made the heavens.
No. He created, this is eternity, past now. When God created all of this was out there. And then we're going to look in the Bible and see what happened. Okay? But I'm trying to teach you a big lesson today to get you started off in this and put some foundation at the same time. Now God talks, we're going to study time and God's relationship and God's economy toward man in periods of time or ages. Alright? This is the eternal age in the past. We see up here eternity on the round chart in the past. We're talking about what happened in eternity past. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this was done in eternity past. The heavens and the earth and everything that's in the heavens and upon the earth at that time. Okay? Turn to Genesis 1 and 1 in your Bible. The book of Genesis, it is a Greek word, by the way, and it means to become or beginning. Alright? In Hebrew, it's Bereshit. But in Hebrew, it also means beginnings, not singular, but plural. Now, how many of you have a New American Standard Bible? Brother Harold, what does it say there?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Alright, is it beginning or beginnings?
In the beginnings.
Alright. They had been translating that beginning for so long that they forgot the idea of the Hebrew plural. Put down an S on the end of that, would you? Because that's beginnings. Now, somebody read that for me in King James, Brother Wally. Genesis 1 and 1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The heaven and the earth.
Yes. And the
heaven.
Heaven. Yeah,
heaven. Heaven. Singular.
Yes.
But what does it mean in Hebrew? It's plural. Heavens. All of the heavens and the earth. This is when it created. God created all of it, Brother Bill. Now this answers your question, doesn't it? All of the heavens, all the earth, all the stars, and they all shine back there. Alright? Now who did he put over all of the material creation of God?
Lucifer.
Alright. Lucifer. He was over the whole material creation of God. He was over it. In Genesis 1 and 1, it should read, in beginnings, created God. That's the word Elohim there. Elhayim. Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Elohim.
Jehovah.
Well,
it's a plural word.
It's a plural word. We have a triune God there. All right. There is, in Hebrew, there is singular, there is dual, two, and there's plural. In Greek, there is singular, dual, and plural. In Greek. Those languages are very old languages. So they have a dual. Now, the name Elohim is plural. It means three or more. Now, Elohim. El. All right? The name El. El. What in the world is that name? El Elyon. All kinds of names for God in the Old Testament. And a lot of them start with El. What does that mean?
What?
It means God. Haya. El Hayaim. The Creator God. I wish Brother Lee was here. He studies a tremendous amount. He read a book here a while back, and it talked. And a man talked about, and he was a Hebrew that wrote this book. He said, everybody in the world has an Elohim. A Creator. Everybody has a Creator. But there are only a few that have a Jehovah. All right? The Creator God, He created the heavens and the earth. But when you come to a personal relationship, He is the one who shall become. He is the covenant God that comes into our lives. All right? Elohim. In beginnings created God. Eth Hashemayim. Eth is the... it is...
Again.
It is a... sign of the direct object. Ace in Greek. Eth in Hebrew. Not only that, but this word Eth in Hebrew is what? What is the Hebrew alphabet? What does it begin with? Et. Aleph. All right. And how does it end? In Tau. In the Greek alphabet, it begins with what? Alpha, and it ends with Omega. All right. Now, brother, you've studied Hebrew. All right. We've got her down there. All right. We've got Aleph and Tau down in that word. And then it says Hashemayim, the uplifted waters. And it not only meant the covering for the earth, but it meant all of the heavens. All right? Heavens and the earth. Et Hashemayim, we et Ha'aretz. And the earth. The earth. What's the earth mean? That's the place that God was going to play out something in eternity and in time. That's where God would become flesh on that earth. All right? He would become flesh on that earth. Now, the earth. Now what does verse 2 say? Genesis 1 and 2. This is a controversial verse. Alright? Brother, have you got it there, brother?
Yes.
Harold?
And the earth, she became formless and void.
All right.
The darkness was over the surface of the deep and the spirit
of God.
Alright,
just hold on right there. And the earth, alright, with Ha'aretz, Hakia Bohu Atubu. And the earth, she became formless and void. What does Ezekiel or Isaiah 14 say? What happened to the earth there in verse...
Isaiah 14 what?
14 and verse 13 and 14. Let's read that again. Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. Have you got that, Randy?
For you have said in your heart, I will send... into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north.
Okay, go ahead.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit.
Okay, go ahead.
Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms?
17.
Who made the world...
Who made order chaos.
As wilderness.
Yeah. Who made order chaos. Just think about that. What is the world? What's the word for world? Cosmos. Who made the world, the order, chaos. And overthrew its beautiful places. Now, God is able to look through eternity and all the way through time. Because He is what? What is the term?
Omniscient.
All right, He knows everything. All right? He's able to do that. So what in the world happened? Now, you're going to read a lot of this in the Bible in 8 ages, all right? I'm just giving you a little bit of previews of coming attractions, all right? What were some of the things that were on the earth in the fossil forms in this original creation?
Many animals.
A lot of animals were on the earth. What is fossil fuel?
Fuel made from
and leaves.
Rotted fossils.
Rotted animals and leaves and things. They're shale.
A lot of them below us here.
What?
There must have been a lot of them below us here in Bakersfield.
Yeah. There was a lot of them here. Brother Bill.
I'd like to point out this to go along with us. And I know I said some of you might. A few months ago, there was a big article in the Bakersfield, California, that the scientists have reversed their thought on the fact that the Earth was built from a speck. They drilled as far as they could down in the Earth and did all the tests that they know to man. And the as far down as they could go, the tests show that the outside of the earth is the exact same age as the inside. They said it had to have been built in a millisecond.
All right.
So they said it's completely reversed to taking on a...
All right. Now we're going to have a film on the icons of evolution also. This is one of the things that they had up there, you know, they had all this problem with and debates and everything. Brother.
Yeah, you say there were animals on the original creation before Satan destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And where do you grab that from the scriptures? I mean, you have a scriptural proof text for that.
Genesis 1.
It doesn't say
anything.
It
created the heavens and the earth. But what do we see from that time on the earth?
He made it.
He made all of it.
He redid it.
But just think about it for a while. Just think about it. What we see on the earth, what do we see when we study the earth, when we study geology, when we study anthropology?
Of course, I'm not questioning you, but we like to be on scriptural ground.
You're making us think.
Yeah. Now, you're thinking. All right, that's good. Yep. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 also. Brother Bill.
Then I might add that the gamble explosion that you hear talks about, what I've been able to research out, at the time that he claims that that happened coincides with this time that the earth was reformed.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling it reformed. He's calling it the gamble explosion.
Yeah.
Now that's
the earth became a chaos. It was created in order. And then it became chaos. The Babylonian idea of creation that gods created chaos and then brought order out of chaos. But God created order. And He created everything that we see, that we can study on this earth, in fossil form and everything. He created that there. And you say, well, why did He create all these weird-looking animals and everything else? What do you think He created them now in space and time? What is causing everybody to go to the Middle East right now? Where he said they were going to go.
Animals that have been...
All them animals and all that vegetation and everything is in the earth. That's what they can talk about anything they want to talk about over there. We want to do this, we want to do that. But what is it all about?
Oil.
Greed. And oil and control. All right, that's what it's all about. And God allowed that to happen there. Because in space and time, over here in the tribulation period, He knew it, in the end times, He knew that this would draw mankind there. So He allowed. We have God's direct will and we have God's permissive will. Did God want Lucifer to rebel?
No.
Did He use the rebellion to bring about His eternal purpose?
Yes.
Yes. Let's think about that for a while. He didn't make him rebel, but He created him with a volition that he could serve or not serve. He created the heavens and the earth. He didn't want them to be destroyed. But they had a certain amount of vegetation and things on them that would bring, that man could use also in their changed form. Yes?
How much credence do you give to the dating procedures that are being used now in the so-called scientific
community? The carbon dating?
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of theories about that.
No, that's why I asked the question.
Now, I don't know. You know, they dated the moth one time that it was like so many thousand years old, and they found out the moth was in hibernation. It was alive. It wasn't dead. You know, they've done all kinds, you know, you hear all kinds of stories about this. And the icons of evolution, you'll, in that little film that we're going to have, you'll see a little bit about Brother David.
The inventor of the carbon dating process says that it's not accurate under certain conditions.
Yes.
So
it is accurate under certain conditions.
Scientists today pervert that, use it to reaffirm their own personal opinion.
We talk about the creation of the heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, we don't know how long ago that was. We know some things that happened back then because of Isaiah 14 and Genesis 1 and 2. A lot of people talk about what I teach is the gap theory. Bullinger and Pember and J. Lewis Guthrie and Gesenius and a lot of these ancient or old Hebrew scholars and everything, they say it's not the gap theory, it's the gap fact. Because that's what Hebrew says. That's what it says.
Well, Schofield and the Gabelines,
yeah,
apparently also, according to what my footnotes here, they agree with that. Maybe Well, to some extent, at least.
Yeah.
That
because they studied under those men.
Yeah.
Bullinger. You go. How many of you have ever heard of the Companion Bible? Bullinger's Bible. You go back there and you read Genesis 1 and 2 and see what he says about that. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm trying to... I'm getting the right picture from you here. Are you saying that before Adam was created on earth,
mm-hmm.
prior to that time,
mm-hmm.
there were beings created on earth?
Yes.
So
well, we know that they're angels. We know that they're angels.
No, I mean beings
on earth. And there were animals on the earth, evidently, from what we find. What God set in order here in all of the animal kingdom. In Isaiah 14, he said, who shook the kingdoms? What kingdom do you think he's talking about? The animal kingdom, the order that he had put on the earth. It was destroyed. Okay? All right. Now let's go back to our book on page 1 real quick. And let's look at it, because we only have a few minutes. All right? Now we're chasing rabbits all over the place here. But we got to kind of stay along with the order. All right. Define age in this book. What is an age?
Period of time.
It's a period of time in which God dealt with mankind in a certain way, or dealt with spirits or angels in a certain way. All right. And how is the word dispensation used in the book? Dispensation.
Describing a period of time.
Describing an age or a period of time. And there's another word you can use for dispensation. Write this one in there. Now, this is blanks on your page. You need to write these things in. You need a pencil. You need to bring a pencil to school. All right? Or to church. To your class. Administration. Administration. We have the age of innocence. We call this the Adamic age also. And we have the age of conscience. We also call this the Noahic age. We have the age of human government. And we have the age of promise and the age of the law. All of this. These are ages, periods of time, and then we live in an age today, in the church age today, the administration of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, briefly outline the Bible and Ages book. All right. We have the pre-Adamic age, number A. Number B, what do you think that would be?
Innocence.
Number B. The Adamic age. Thank you.
Yes.
Number
two.
C.
Called two here.
All right. Number.
Well, we have the flood.
The
flood
age. Yeah, the flood age. All right. See on the outside there, pre-Adamic, Adamic age, flood age. All right. This is the Noahic covenant that God made with Noah. And then D. What do we have out there? The Abrahamic age. All right. And then we have the law age or the Mosaic age. E, and then F is what?
Church
age. All right, you're getting there. And then number G?
Millennial.
The millennial age. And then number H, or
heaven.
Letter H.
Heaven.
The heaven ages. All right, so now you're getting that. You've covered up the first page here almost. What is the purpose of studying this subject in ages or periods?
To avoid confusion.
Well, to help you interpret your Bible correctly. When you get this down, you can understand what happens. A lot of people have told me, the Bible is just very confusing. I can't understand one thing from the other.
Mm-hmm.
When you start breaking it down...
However, I have to have people tell me, hey, those dispensations or administrations, he says, that's a bunch of nonsense. God's the same all the time.
God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same God, but the way God deals with man is not the same.
That's right.
I guarantee you that.
No, but you
try to
explain that. They have different...
People have different ideas. They do have different ideas. But what I'm teaching you is basically a real sound biblical
but we have
foundation.
But we have to understand the reality of where we live.
Yeah. All right. To find out and understand how God has dealt with mankind and... Has he dealt with in his economy throughout all the ages? Okay? Number five. Why is it necessary to know something of the past in making this study? Why do you study history?
know. They, those who forget their history are bound to repeat it.
That's, say that, brother.
Those who forget their history are bound to repeat it.
Those who forget their history are bound to repeat it. All right. It's impossible to under. It's absolutely perfectly impossible to understand the present condition until you understand the past. Economics. Is anything happening today in economics that not happened before? Huh? Let me just tell you something, just real quick. This is just a little bit, and we're going to have finished this number, page number one. All right? What kind of economic system are we run under today? What is it called? It's called something in economics.
Capitalism,
but it's called what? What else?
It's socialism.
Fiat money.
No, it's called the Keynes system in economics. Keynes, the John Maynard Keynes system of economics.
Oh, yeah.
What does that do?
It borrows yourself rich.
You borrow yourself rich.
That's about the basic.
You actually, what it does is you replace real value with a printed value. Piece of paper, you get out a dollar. The dollar is worth nothing. But the government said it's worth a dollar. But in the Keynesian economics, the government completely controls what that dollar is worth. For all, they can tax you, they can do anything they want to do to you, and you don't even know it. In the Keynes system of economics, it is totally relevant to what they do up there in the monetary, what we call the Federal Reserve System. They control your destiny. They control your wealth constantly. Now, if you had a gold standard or a silver standard, what would happen? You would have a standard. But when you don't have a standard, you are in complete control of whoever is over you. I mean, you're a victim to it. Now, did the Roman government, the great Roman Empire, did it ever have problems like we're having today? What happened when they went to the idea of the Keynes system of economics? What did they do? They silver-plated their coins, and all they were made out of was brass or something underneath. They went back to the gold and silver standard, and what happened to them? Their empire got propped up for a while. This is just one little thing. This is just economics and history. That's all. How about theologically? If you understand where we are in time and space, you'd make a lot less theological mistakes than you would if you didn't study history. All right? Well, that's where we are today. Did you learn something today? All right. I hope so. I got you introduced to this a little bit. Yes, brother.
I certainly an answer that I was hoping to hear about that differentiation in function between the spirits and angels.
We're going to get to them. It's only further in the book. We're going to get specifically in them. We're going to study angels and all of that. It's down a little bit further in the book. But right now, all I did was introduce you to it to make you think. Now take your books and read your books. All right? Read your books. All right. Brother David, thank you for enduring those hard seats. And I, like I said, I haven't taught this class in 30 years. Tony, thank you for the whole class.
Amen.
For what you've done with these.